Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Ultra Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. I, of course, am your host, Charlie. I'm joined once again remotely by the prolific governor himself, Zelius.
What's up, home slice?
We are in two different locations for the first time in a long time.
I'm not like in your attic or something?
No. Actually, okay, so the last time we did this remote, I think I was still in this house, but I think I was basically operating out of my bar area because we had to redo the entire basement. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is a Thursday night hangout. This is a chance for you, ladies and gentlemen, to add your voice to our crazy-ass voices and tell us what you're thinking, what subjects, what topics you'd like to talk about, or we could just go off the list that has been accumulating for 2 weeks now. Is that right?
Well, we were here last Thursday, weren't we?
No.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, somebody had the plague. The plague always goes around.
Everyone's got the plague, damn it.
Oh, I just noticed. That's really cool.
What?
Above the chat window.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the image that Zelius is talking about, if you're watching the video and not listening to just audio only, if you're listening to just the audio only, visualize, ladies and gentlemen. There's a beautiful picture that was done by Imagination, M-A-J-A Nation, N-A-T-I-O-N, and it's amazing. But anyways, let's start off and say social distancing or spacing or whatever the hell it's called is a good thing. But gamers don't seem to have a problem with that.
You mean I get to play video games socially distantly?
You mean I get to continue to play online games with all my online friends? Because...
Dude!
All right.
Wait, you have online friends?
Yes?
That doesn't sound very fair.
They might just be bots. Who knows? I mean...
Where do I find these mysterious online friends?
I'm telling you, they might be bots. Who knows? You know, it's
maybe you're a bot, sir.
Hmm.
Have you thought of that?
No. And if I did, my head would hurt, so let's not.
Well, I prefer to hurt your head.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, of course, the reason why we're doing this remote gathering type of thing is because of the treacherous COVID-19 that seems to be taking the world by plague?
Oh, I see what you did there, sir.
But anyways, for the safety of everybody, we are trying to limit our contact with others as best as possible. And for all those punk-ass morons that are just trying to live it up on the beach, go home, please.
Like, you know, it's one thing if you go to, like, a location that has, like, a couple of people, right?
Yeah.
You know, like... Some restaurants are still open, but there might be like five people in it. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But to intentionally go to like a
spring break
that people are happening where there's like, you know, tens of hundreds of people.
Right.
That's a whole other level of idiocy.
Indubitably. Now, of course, with the vast majority of the world wanting to, I don't know, slow down this contagion, as Zelius alluded to, our favorite restaurants, or basically every restaurant, is either going to very small parties or they go into curbside service. One of our favorites are our amazing watering hole, Battle and Brew, has gone to strictly a curbside menu. Because let's be honest, a lot of these like smaller companies, smaller companies, period, be them. Musicians, restaurants, stores, whatever you have there, they're still trying to find a way to make money, because if they don't make money, they ain't going to be around when hopefully this, you know, washes past us sooner than later.
Well, in case you're curious, it turns out some of the breweries in Roswell are still actually open for business.
I heard that there's like a bill that was supposed to be in Georgia for like beer delivery.
Yeah, apparently there is, because some have closed. Well, you know, some places obviously closed, but yeah, I didn't quite catch what the details on that were.
Speaking of not catching the details, ladies and gentlemen, we sort of, maybe, I don't know, kind of have an update about MomoCon 2020. And the reason why I you know, voice it just like that is because MomoCon has basically put out a very vague statement. And I'm going to read it to you right now. And it basically states, on behalf of the entire MomoCon family, our hearts go out to every person and family affected by these challenging global times. MomoCon organizers are currently exploring new dates for the MomoCon 2020 experience, and we will continue to work around the clock with the Georgia World Congress Center, our hotel partners, and government officials to bring our fans an update as soon as possible. In the event you are unable to attend during the later dates, we will also be providing options for existing memberships. As soon as we have our new plans for 2020 in place, you, the valued members of our community, will be among the first to know. Thank you and your continued patience as we work toward finding the best solution for MomoCon 2020. So, my question to you is, so, is it postponed or not? Or,
Here's the thing, is most of these things I've seen, because, like, we went through the same talk, so, obviously, like, we were supposed to go to the World's Robotics Championship in Houston in April.
Yep.
And as soon as, like, you know, all the, really once the NBA news hit, yep, we were like, yep, it's done. And that was kind of the conversation was, is it going to be postponed or canceled?
Mm-hmm.
And once we really started to think about it, we're all like, I don't know how you honestly postpone this with any kind of quality, because you're looking at the venues and the cost of that. You're looking at the personnel,
right,
all of your volunteers. In the case of MomoCon, obviously you got the vendor hall, you got people doing panels like us. You got, I mean, there's
the so talent.
There's so many moving parts,
yep,
where maybe you put on, like, okay, I would almost propose it as, like, okay, we're doing MomoCon. You would almost have to think, do it as, like, a MomoCon, let's just say it's 2020 still.
Mm-hmm.
MomoCon 2020 redo.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like a, hey, you know, all the confusion, let's try redoing your panel to this time.
Right.
It's almost like start from scratch, because there's so many moving parts. I don't know how you successfully transition that to basically a new one. So that's my big skepticism, is so many things going on. I don't know how you just simply transition that to a new period of time that's going to work. And part of the issue is we just don't know when this is going to be over.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have a lot of families at school, unfortunately, who are canceling their summer vacation plans.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, the issue that you're running into now is you're also running into a financial issue.
Where you need enough time to back out.
Now, your summer vacation plans, you could be out a whole lot more money, because the closer you get, the harder it is. So it's, I just don't know how they do. And of course, if you start getting past summer, now you're into Dragon Con land and other conventions.
Right. So a lot of people are like, well, okay, well then just, you know, schedule it for Labor Day. I'm like, you don't do that in Georgia. No.
Nope. So I'm very skeptical of them being able to actually have a successful postponement to another date. I mean, MomoCon's always a great convention. We hope they do, but with so much in the news, and the more news that comes out, it's always every news is basically saying, expect to come back later than we first expected.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when everything first started getting canceled, we were on the assumption of basically 2 weeks, 14 days.
Yep.
And now I'm sure you've heard the same thing. Most schools are like, yeah, come back. We don't know when.
Well, I know that universities, especially in Georgia, they've basically said, you've got the rest of the semester for, what do you call it? Virtual classes.
Well, and you have some states, there's a couple of states who, public schools, like K-12, they're closed down through May. They're just, you know what? April, don't even try coming back. We just know we're getting to May, which, of course, some states, now you're getting into, you know, graduation and end of year and all that fun stuff, too.
Right.
So I guess one of the stories, unfortunately, when it comes to MomoCon, obviously, they had to delay it. They had to postpone. That's just for the safety of everyone. That's the only choice you could make. I just think they're going to have a real hard time trying to reschedule that And frankly, you're going to start getting to other conventions like AWA and even Dragon Con. Like, you know, Dragon Con, let's be honest, it's a cesspool of germs. It's just, there's no other way of putting it. I mean, you walk into those hotels and you're talking tens of thousands of people like crammed to a Marriott.
Yep.
I mean, that's a epidemic begging to happen. It, man, that's pandemic level right there.
Well, I mean, if you were talking,
kind of curious, even if we start going into these months, into the summer and future months, what's going to happen to some of these conventions?
Well, you also have to take consideration the multiple PAXes that are out there. You know, because PAX Prime is the same time as Dragon Con, and it's basically in one of the strongest hotbeds in the U.S. right now, the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have PAX East, of course, is at Boston. And then there's like two more PAXes. I think one's in like Austin, Texas, and the other one's in like Philly. And I think that's
isn't
like
the one in like Australia?
Yes, there is.
Well, Australia's, well, just like the United States, the problem with Australia is they have no toilet paper.
Oh, Lord.
Bring your own toilet paper to the convention, sir.
You got to make it yourself.
Look, you have to use your badge as your toilet paper.
Mmm, that's tasty.
Yeah, it's going to go well. So it's unfortunate. I mean, we've always looked forward to MomoCon. It's a very well-done convention. But I mean, that's just kind of unfortunately, that's the social reality that we currently live in right now.
Agreed.
I'm kind of curious. You know, so you look at something like, let's take, for instance, actually BlizzCon, right?
Mm-hmm.
BlizzCon's in a way actually very set up already very well for circumstances like this because
crowd control
had a virtual pass were heavily leveraging their virtual pass in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe some of these conventions, you know, if this continues to become a prolonged issue of being able to basically have mass gatherings, are other conventions going to kind of maybe try to emulate a BlizzCon where it's like, hey, you know what? We can't do you know, all the stuff, all the panels you people wanted to see, but maybe you're still willing to pay, I'm just throwing out money, maybe you're willing to pay $20 to still see, you know, all of your normal panelists, and we'll have a very nice remote, you know, virtual environment, and you can come to all the panels. It'll just be nonstop panels with, you know, people from all the shows you like. I don't know.
Well, I think the issue with that, though, is like with the difference between BlizzCon and the vast majority of the conventions out there is that BlizzCon is Blizzard. And so you might have like a special guest or two, but when you're talking about like a MomoCon, where you've got 30, 40 special guests, the reason why a lot of people go is to meet those people.
Sure.
And it's not to, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I know there's a shit ton of people who actually just want to see our panels. I mean, come on. But at the same time, it would be interesting. I think that you'd be able to get away with it a little bit better if it was more of a, I don't know, where the emphasis is more on panels, like an educational type of setting. Siege, the Georgia Game Developers Association convention. Push come to shove, I bet you you literally could do Siege as a virtual convention if you really wanted to. But that's my 2 cents. But speaking of things that do not want to cancel or close, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderfully terrible demonic company called GameStop has claimed to be essential retail during the coronavirus lockdown, and they will not be closing their stores.
You mean because video games are essential to the mental well-being of students and adults everywhere?
I hate to harp on this point, and I'm talking directly to you, GameStop. There's something called digital distribution.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I know. Crazy. Digital pipe. Holy shit. Crazy. But I don't have to deal with any of you asshats trying to, you know, get me to pre-order something or give me an additional service. However, I do want to say this, though. They are suspending used game turn-ins during the outbreak. They're like, look, we'll sell you used games, but don't bring your shit in here.
Well, see, as you know, I only ever went to GameStop for one reason and one reason only.
Used games or the discount bin.
pretty much, let's be honest. Now I basically, I mean, I use, and here's the thing, like, I still don't mind buying used games on post them, but I'm so embedded in the digital, even like I have a Nintendo Switch right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I might be able to go, I guess, to GameStop and get a, you know, SD card used, I guess, but I don't have any desire to, because I've been using digital distribution for so long now through Steam and all the other stuff, where it's like just the idea of getting a physical game just doesn't appeal to me. Even like when the Xbox One or PS5, okay, Xbox naming just pisses me off, mm-hmm. but the PS5, when that comes out,
the Xbox X, dude. The Xbox X backwards, 32-185-321 original. Special edition.
Oh, now it's special though.
Of course.
But like even those, like someday you'll be able to buy used versions of those games. But I'm kind of in the comfort of my own couch right now.
Yeah.
I could sit down and I can shoop, buy the game. So for me, you know, I know you and I disagree about used games, but I no longer have any desire to buy used games because the ease and process of just buying a digital game is so simplistic where, you know, regardless of the coronavirus, I just never felt like going, you know, it's one less place I just have to go out of my way for. So for me, it's just, I'm done with GameStop because why?
No, I totally understand. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, I know that I was kind of like one of those hanger-ons that, you know, well, what, you know, physical copies, what about like the collector editions? And I mean, at the end of the day, you could buy the damn game digitally, and if you want that special tchotchke Master Chief helmet, you could just go to, Microsoft.com's store, and you could buy it from there. So it's not like you're going to miss out on that.
You know what's ironic about that, though? Like, I bet, let's just say the new consoles, the mm-hmm. Xbox One, X54, and the PS5 come out. Mm-hmm. I bet you physical disc aside, there's still a market for basically having like the game jacket. You know, it's like you're still going to be people like, let's just say I buy Halo 18 for my Xbone, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I buy it, boom, I just get that digital code for redemption. But for an extra $10, I'm just throwing a number, for extra, they will send me that game jacket to just put on my shelf. You know, people would buy that and just have that. Because there is something about that physical feeling. It's like, you know, I know that's also the audio, but that's one of the reasons LPs and records are back in the rage is, you know, you can kind of it's a different physical format that's almost kind of like an art thing that you can do along with the actual having it. So I'm actually kind of surprised that there isn't any kind of like avenue to really push that physical game format. Not the physical game, but some kind of physical representation to have, like, on a shelf.
Right, and to be honest with you, I've been doing some cleaning around my house, and because of the wonderful environment that we've had to create of no one come near us, we had to break out the Nintendo Wii just to give the kids something different to play. And so I had to go look for a bunch of stuff, and I had to go through my two massively huge boxes that are filled with GameCube, original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Wii, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PSP games, Sega Game Gear, the original Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, the 3DS, Xbox 360, Xbox One. You know, I've got all these games just like piled together.
And how many of those do you plan on ever playing again, sir?
Very good question. I do not know, but I have them just in case. Just like now. I mean, if I had sold my Wii and all my games, the hell would I be doing right now?
You would probably be on the show with us.
Huh?
You'd be on the show with us right now.
I am on the show with you.
You asked, what would you be doing? That would not have changed.
Hold on, Slick. You didn't let me finish. What I'm saying is, what would I do to placate the desire to straddle the shit out? I mean, to love my children. No, but in all honesty, like, to me, I think the Wii is kind of like, you know, that outside liar, because it's always going to have life for just, you know, the novelty of being able to get up and move around, which, not going to lie, I definitely need. I know a lot of people probably, you know, because they're locked in their own houses, don't move around as much. So, you know, Weibo is right back there. You know,
no, I would agree. I think that Wii is it's a unique console, you know, because most of the other consoles, you can make the argument of, like, you know, graphics and controller and, you know, all these other improvements depending on your perceptions of video games. But Wii, I think, it always have that unique place in kind of consoles from that physical, you know, that's kind of the whole idea of all the Wii sports. You get up and move around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Now, okay, so. So I'm sure there's some people out there that go, well, you know, Nintendo was not the only one who had those motion controls, right? I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have the Kinect for my 360 and for my Xbox One. Once it was unplugged from those systems, it never got plugged back in. And so, God forbid about the damn PlayStation, the bouncy balls on sticks.
And that's what Nintendo did well, though, is the Wii motion things, because my parents could play the Wii out of the box.
Right.
There's no magical configuration. I mean, retirement homes used them. And that was like, I had to connect, and I used it a handful of times, because if you had, like, a table at 37.5 degrees over here, it would detect that, so you had to move it just slightly. And if you didn't have, like, the right colored shirt on this day, it was like, so many things with the Kinect had to be just right for it to always work. And the problem with technology is, with most people, myself included, like, if it fails you just a couple of times,
you're not going to use
because
it.
Because it's just frustrating and tedious. You give up on it. Like, screw this.
I think that's anything in life, though.
With the Kinect.
You know, right. I mean, if someone, you know, I think that if you try to do something and it immediately, you know, you don't immediately lock in, within like the first 5-10 minutes, you're not going to do it. Like, there's quite a few books that I've started reading, and like within a chapter or two, I'm going, nah. Mm-mm. I mean,
Wii was a home run. It's, but now you look at it, of course, now they have the Switch, which is another home run for them.
Yep. I've been playing the crap out of my Switch for anybody who's been watching me. I actually streamed Tuesday night and last night. I did Round Guard by Wonderbelly Games. Ironically, they were one of the companies that I interviewed at MomoCon 2019, and they actually were able to release their game in a timely fashion. Which it's a sad reality when it comes to independent creators. They want to they want the hype to be there and be able to push their product out, but the vast majority of the time, they are going to find a stumbling block, and they're going to go down a rabbit hole. I mean, I'm still waiting for, I don't even know what the fuck the name of the game is now. The game that I kickstarted like 12 years ago or some shit like that.
Well, that doesn't help with you, because you kickstarted so many games.
Yes. Speaking of Kickstarter, ladies and gentlemen, a friend of the show, Craig Campbell, is about to launch another amazing Kickstarter supplemental for his game, Capers. This one,
this time,
Outer Space.
Nice.
Yep. So I, of course, will be spending more money than I should to back it, so I can get my picture yet again in another one of the Capers books.
Very cool, sir.
Indubitably. Now, of course, so. You know, to kind of roll it back a little bit about GameStop, you know, and saying, we're essential. We can't close our doors. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to undercut them just a little bit. I am putting in the chat a link that goes to GOG.com. GOG.com stands for Good Old Games. Nice. Good Old Games has released a free games available to help you stay at home and play some games. And, you know, it's a very interesting, like, span of games. I mean, you've got a bunch of Ultimas on there. You've got some shooters on there. You've got some adventure games on there.
I never actually played, like, the Ultimas.
You bastard. That's not true. You and I played Ultima... Oh, shit. What is it called? Ultima... Now you're going to make me look for the damn thing. Ultima 8, Pagan.
We did? That's yeah. Very possible.
Yeah, we played that one.
Oh, man, these are some... Looking back at these graphics, these were the days.
Oh, it's good old games. Yeah, you know, it's just... But the thing is, speaking of companies kind of like helping us out, you've got museums giving free online like presentations and stuff, and like the Metropolitan Opera and all this stuff. But here's the caveat that really pisses me off. A lot of these places, you have to be the first within the first 100 viewers. Otherwise, it blocks you out.
Oh, that's sneaky. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because my wife wanted to get the kids to watch something that was happening at the Museum of Puppetry Arts, which is here in Atlanta. And she was like viewer 235. She couldn't get in.
Is there not like a paid, even like a paid version you could do? Or is it just like, nope?
Nope. It's for free.
That's interesting.
Yes. I mean, I kind of understand, but at the same time, it's kind of sucky. However, ladies and gentlemen, if you have children or if you just need to see something different, I don't have the website off the top, right at my hands, but there is this website that basically has webcams from around the world zoos. So, if you want to see the pandas at the San Diego Zoo or the Georgia Aquarium has one in their big tank. You've got penguins and bison and elephants and giraffes, and you just rotate that for the kids. I highly recommend it. It decreases the likelihood of you loving them a little less.
Who are we loving? I'm very confused.
Children, damn it.
Yeah, I don't have them.
You're a teacher.
Yeah, I could just mute them.
Well, I guess you could kind of tune them out in person as well, but we're not going to go into that.
Well, but during the digital time, if they're annoying me, I just kind of, drink and say like, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. All right. So in previous episodes, Azealius has always stated, this kind of goes back to like the physical copies of games. Azealius always stated that one of his favorite things that he ever got from a game that he wishes he still had was that huge ass poster from Civilization.
Yes.
So Civ 3, right?
Civ 2.
Civ 2. All right, so Azealius, I found the Civ 4 one. It's nowhere as big, okay? But it is still impressive, okay? Because it's got... Let's see. I mean, it's...
Where'd you find that? Oh, is that like in your collection of stuff?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. I found it today. I'm on a mission, okay? Somewhere in one of my boxes, I am completely 100% convinced, is a CD that contains software that I would love to put on like a Raspberry Pi.
Ooh.
And maybe build a cabinet.
For?
The software. I'm trying to be vague, damn it.
I get it now.
I got like 250 software titles on this thing. If I could find the disc somewhere.
So here is the full Civ 2 tech tree.
Oh, Lord.
I just linked it in chat. I almost wonder, like, I could download that actually and, like, bring it to, like, a Kinko's and, like, get it printed out, like, in a large format or something.
Wonder what the actual size is.
Yeah, I was trying to find, like, what was the.
So this is, it says it's 3. Oh, this is okay. This is
just pixels. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Microprose. Man, that takes me back. But no, I you know, there's something to be said when you have something like that. It makes an impact. You know.
Yeah.
Like this, ladies and gentlemen, because I've been going through all my crazy stuff. Here is the Master of Orion 3 keyboard guide. So It's got the actual layout of the keyboard and then the buttons and are the keys and what they're assigned to. Not only do they've got the galaxy map key combos, but also the space combat combos.
Or like when you got like the original Icewind Dale or Baldur's Gate and you had the manual. You could like go through and kind of like spec out what you wanted because you'd see like all the spells and feats and everything.
I've got, there was a much lesser known Dungeons & Dragons game that came out around that time as well called Pools of Radiance. I found that book and it's about, you know, it's like a manga book thick, which is what I was... I'm bouncing around. I freaking apologize. But one of the things I was talking about, you know, you've got good old games giving you free games to play. You've got a bunch of, like, free web shows happening. And unfortunately, this is only for those who can read Japanese. Basically, a bunch of the manga publishers have put all their stuff for free. All you need to do is have the app. The unfortunate thing is it's only the Japanese version, so it's the Shonen Jump, like the actual thing. It's not whatever it, you know, it gets translated into to come over to the US. You know, that's kind of cool too, you know. And of course you have a bunch of movies that are going straight to like a streaming service or a rent service, like, you know, through Amazon or something. And of course, you know, there's people out there going, this is awesome. You're giving me this movie extra early, but $15 to rent this. Yeah. $15 because they've got to make up for lost box office.
Well, what's the price of going to a movie theater?
Yeah. About the same.
I mean, that's basically like, that's a primetime ticket nowadays is probably $15 at like a Phipps Plaza or something.
Yep.
Which is closed anyways.
Yep.
But yeah, the only way that's not worthwhile, if it's by yourself and you're not getting popcorn or anything.
Yeah.
Anything above and beyond that, you're saving money actually.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can watch it again.
What was the new one that just came out? The new Vin Diesel movie.
Was it Bloodshot? Bloodborne?
Blood something. Bloodshot, yeah.
Bloodshot.
And like, but Purge bombed at the box office because guess what?
No one's seen it.
The box office anymore.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's kind of one of the talking points is, you know, unintentionally, is this almost kind of like
going to be the new thing?
One of the death nails for the movie theaters.
Because
People, you know, all of the, you know, the major distributors like Sony, et cetera, already said, like, okay, we're basically going to be direct distribution to some kind of rental service, but people are going to get that taste for it, even at $20 a pop or whatever it is. Is that something that's going to continue to happen?
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. I mean, we already said that, you know, a ticket for a movie, if you're going to a, like a really nice theater with like the recliners or reserve seating, it's probably going to run you about $15 easy. But then, of course, like Zelia stated, you know, then you got the drinks, the food. How about cutting down on the likelihood of someone bringing a baby into a movie they're not supposed to be bringing them into, or traffic, or some sort of like power issue, or, you know.
I mean, I see like, because usually it's my dad and I, but like these like families of four.
Yeah.
And you see like four popcorns and drinks. I'm like, that's over $100 easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets expensive quickly, so. And, you know, now you're going to come from your home, and let's be honest, most people have, like, at least a 45-inch TV nowadays. It's pretty much normal.
Yep.
And, like you said, you don't have to deal with all the other... Like, I still remember, like, when we saw the Black Panther, I wanted to strangle the kid next to you because he was on his phone Snapchatting or something.
Yep.
So it's like, you just don't... And there's always at least one in every movie. And it's like, they're very clear, like, please don't use your cell phone and be a dick. And there's always one. And they always have a great excuse too, by the way. It's like, oh, but I have to answer this.
Well, you see, this is a friend that just came out of a coma, and I'm trying to get him up on world events. It's kind of like a little bit like Austin Powers when he in the first one where he defrosts, and he's just watching video after video after video. And, you know, it's that one situation where he puts the CD on a record player, and he goes, I'm trying to help him avoid that. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, damn it. What was I going to say? I had something else, but I can't remember what it is.
There's always something else, sir.
Isn't there, though? Okay. So, going back to manga, I have been on a serious, like, binge for graphic novels. And I have literally... I think I OD'd on it because now I'm just like, now I'm so overly picky about choosing new ones. I'll just like look at the art style and be like, nah. Or I look at the font and I'm like, nah. Where, you know, when I started off, I was just like, oh my God, I gotta do this one. By the way, Comixology Unlimited, which is basically like Kindle Unlimited, or I guess, you know, Amazon Prime, but a very small little portion of it. You know, it's like, I think it's like $3.99 a year or something like that. Phenomenal! Because even in digital format, graphic novels still cost you a fucking arm and a leg.
But there's something about that physical book they can hold in your hands and
turn
the page.
Yes, I totally understand. But at the same time, when you're trying, you know, when you're just looking for something to read and you are in the mood for a graphic novel, it's awesome to be able to just go tap. Okay, that one, tap. I'm going to borrow this because I've got Comixology Unlimited and I don't have to pay the $9.99 for it and find out that the book sucks balls. Or the story is just so bad that you're just like, no. But I have found one thing, and this pisses me off. There are a shit ton of graphic novels out there that basically... it's literally the prologue, or it's like the first, you know how you, a lot of stories can be broken down into several different parts. You have the, kind of like, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Let's just do it that way. I mean, you know, you could break it even further, but a lot of them either just do the beginning and then there's never another one, or they go beginning, middle, and then it's just like, everybody's together now. Let's not write the rest of the story.
I mean, kind of like how Castlevania, the anime, started with like an entirety of like the first season was basically the prologue.
You mean the terrible cock tease that was the Castlevania animated series? Yeah, yeah. It's like
prologue, man.
Yeah. Oh, goddamn it. Oh, jeez. No. Yeah. Which, by the way, Castlevania season 3 is out, and I've watched the first 3 episodes of that. And I love the art style. I like the dialogue. And it's very interesting. Then again, you know, this is a perfect time to Netflix and chill. And I jokingly, but at the same time, cross my fingers, say that Netflix needs to turn off that fucking option that says, are you still watching? Yes.
I don't get that one.
Dude, I get that all the time.
Wait, like you'll be watching a show and ask?
No. If you watch like a couple shows back to back to back to back, like if you're binging,
automatically fast forwards for you?
No. After like 3 episodes, if you just let them go, you never like skip title or, you know, go to next episode. If you don't touch anything, I think it's like 3 or 4 episodes, it will pause and say, "Are you still watching?" They should turn that shit off.
Turned off where it automatically goes to the next episode.
I don't think you can turn it off, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever, man. I'm just saying. They need to turn that off. And someone jokingly replied back to me, what they should do is after a certain number of episodes, it should flash up on the screen. Now get up, wash your hands, and we can continue on with the show.
Or it gives you like a 10 minutes. You cannot watch it. Go like do some push-ups or something.
That's what the Wii tries to do. It's like, I think it's time for you to take a break and go outside. Okay, no.
It's like, that's what I am doing by playing the Wii, is I'm trying to get my exercise in.
Exactly. Man, I always have to remember that when you're playing the damn Wii Sports, because that's what you're going to be playing. I mean, it's easy for the kids to pick up. That swinging the tennis racket is, you don't have to swing it like a real tennis racket, because holy shit, dude, I like, my arm is like burning.
You mean like a little wrist flick is the same as all?
Yeah. I tried to get my son to play the Wii Sports Golf, and I just gave up. He's like, Dad, I don't understand. I'm trying to do it soft. He's like, flap. I'm like, dude, that's really hard. He goes, okay, flap. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So he got pissed. He's like,
he's all in on his sports, man.
He was like, what? Why say hole out? What happened? I'm like, dude, you went 8 strokes over the limit, and it just said, you ain't going to make it.
Oh, that's sad.
Yes.
Well, I saw that they beat you at bowling, so there is that.
No, my youngest beat the shit out of everyone. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but he literally, with the, it's very odd, but frame 1 through 9, he had 8 spares and 1 strike.
That's really good.
And then in the 10th frame, 8 pins total. Like, I don't know what happened. It's like all of a sudden the streak was broken, but by that time he had basically beat the crap out of all of our scores, and somehow I got last.
Oh, I don't remember your good old days of when you used to be able to score 300 from the kitchen.
I never scored a 300 from the kitchen.
I saw you get like strikes from the kitchen.
No, yeah, no. In my old place, I was doing strikes from the second floor.
Yeah.
They'd be like, Charlie, it's your turn. I'll be like, whoop, strike. Oh, right. But that was the beauty. That's the beauty of the Wii. That's the other thing. You could literally be in a different room and you could still play the damn thing.
True.
Where with the Kinect, it had to be the correct lighting. Of course, like you said, the spacing. Sadly, the color of your skin. You couldn't have any other objects in the room. God forbid you have a fucking ceiling fan.
So, speaking of consoles, did you see the both Sony and Microsoft have announced their super cool, awesome specifications for their Generation 5, Next. I guess I'm calling it consoles?
I just call it Generation Next. I don't know at this point.
The next gen of the consoles. Did any of the numbers make you drool with excitement of like, wow, I need those teraflops in my brain?
The only thing that made me go, oh, not again, was that wonderful thing that's called internal storage, custom on both of them, custom SSD. For fuck's sakes, people.
Super extra faster than normal SSD. This ain't your normal SSD, man. This is SSSD, super SSD.
Let's be totally honest. The vast majority of these stupid proprietary hard drives are actually slower than like the one that you could get straight off the external hard drives you could get for your PC. It's ridiculous. Well, it's enhanced for the console. Yes, because you tailor it to just work on your OS, which with Microsoft would make no sense because it's the Windows architecture. So for them to have a proprietary hard drive, that's absolutely 100% stupid.
If anything, I thought it would be like the other way around, where Sony has a proprietary.
Yeah.
That's why I was kind of like, okay.
But they both have it.
So, I mean, to be fair, Microsoft's is 1 terabyte, and Sony's is like 830 gigabytes. So at least there's large hard drives to start with.
Well, I mean, you're talking about strictly, digital distribution. I mean, yes, they have an optical drive in there. With 4K UHD Blu-ray.
Well, the thing with the Xbox, though, is from what I was reading, you can hook up a external hard drive to the USB, like a normal, everyday, boring hard drive or SSD drive. Mm-hmm. You just can't play off of it. It basically becomes your archival source.
Okay.
You're kind of shuffling your games around if you need to.
I can understand that simply because you don't know, a lot of the games are going to be online, and you don't want there to be a degradation of experience or, you know, some sort of lag that's based off of the fact that you're using a third-party hard drive.
Yeah,
so, I can understand that, but at the same time, I still want to punch them in the nuts for having to do proprietary shit.
Yes.
Now, in real fun news, ladies and gentlemen, for hopefully the vast majority of you out there, you have had the pleasure of watching an amazing movie called Dodgeball. Dodgeball, of course, was, you know, the underdog story of a local gym, the Average Joe's, going up against, what's it, Global Gym, I think. Global Gym. And, of course, spoiler, the Average Joe's win. Now, the funny part, the reason why I bring this up is that the Dodgeball Championship and a lot of other interesting sporting events were hosted on a fictitious thing called ESPN 8, The Ocho.
The Ocho!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a great bit of news for you. It turns out that ESPN is gonna give you the Ocho. ESPN 8, The Ocho, returns Sunday and will save us from a deep, dark depression of no sports. Some of the events to be televised on The Ocho include the 2019 Spikeball College Championship, World Axe Throwing League, the Stone Skipping Championship, 2019 Gels Marble Runs. Participants and spectators are marbles in these races. And some of the, let's see here, the Cornhole Championship, U.S. Open Ultimate Championship, Putt-Putt Championship. I don't even know what that one is.
All kinds of stuff, it sounds like.
World Sign Spinning Championship. I'll just put the link in the thing. There's the annual Cherry Pit Spitting Championship. I mean, this is made for the Ocho.
You want the Ocho in your house, sir?
Hell yeah. 2019 Death Diving World Championship. That I don't know if I want to support.
Could you just, like, go out?
The Classic Tetris World Championship.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to see that?
Nobody. I mean, everybody wants to see it. But I mean, I'm glad to see that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are trying to help, you know, individuals who are stuck. You've got, you know, ESPN going, we're bringing the Ocho. You've got, like I said, you know, you've got all this like free online streaming stuff. What's really cool, and I cannot remember the venue off the top of my head. I'm sure that there's multiple venues, but there's a specific music venue in Dallas that they are going to stream all of the musical acts that come through so that individuals could still experience the musical, the music. And the reason for that, it goes back to what I was saying, you know, like the mom and pop stores aren't going to survive, you know, if they completely shut down. You've got a lot of starving artists out there that if you basically do not allow them to tour for basically beer tab money, they're not going to be able to continue to pursue their dream. So,
dream?
Huh?
I need the dream.
Yeah. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if there is one thing that I could say that has been in place forever, and now people are becoming very, very aware of that, is online pencil and paper RPGs. There are so many free systems out there, and Dungeons & Dragons, of course, has thrown all their shit into the ring. And if you've ever watched the show Critical Role, they've released a free adventure that you can you know, basically add to your normal group, or start a new adventure with a new batch of people. I've actually been invited to join a, I think it's a 3-week online adventure. I just have to see if I can actually do it. I'm supposed to respond back to them tomorrow. Hopefully I'll know by tomorrow. But, you know, there is so much amazing stuff you could still do if you know about it. Hell, I mean,
what if I don't know, man? I just don't know anything.
No, you... Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm about to tell or show, 99.9% of you will have no fucking clue what the hell I'm about to show. But for the one individual who does know, and that, of course, is my co-host, This is what I found when I was cleaning.
Oh.
Oh my god. Hold on.
The anticipation's killing me, man. I can barely wait. And because the whole like weird 15-second delay thing.
Oh my god.
It's just like freaking me out even more, dude.
Okay.
I guess this has something to do with Crystals of Prion, though.
All of this, the notebooks, the binders, all that paper, that's Crystals of Prion, my friend.
Nice.
In all of its 14 variations?
So when are you going to go back and review it and make the 15th iteration?
Why not? In the next couple of days. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If there was ever a time to start a pencil and paper RPG campaign, or to write a story, or to make a homebrew pencil and paper RPG, or a homebrew...
like a homebrew beer.
Or homebrew beer takes a little bit longer than, you know... Well, actually, creating a very good homebrew system is going to take you a shit ton of time anyways. You know, if there ever was a time for you to... It's, okay, if you are basically locked away in your house... And you're like, I need to do something. If there's ever something that you wanted to do, you wanted to learn how to draw comics, there's a shit ton of YouTube videos out there. Actually, sat with my son and watched two YouTube videos. One was to draw a Pokeball, and the other one was to draw Mewtwo. By the way, my Mewtwo has thick-ass thighs because I didn't get the proportions right, but my Pokeball looked amazing.
They were very nice.
Yeah. No, this is the time. I mean, and the beautiful thing is because we have the internet, because we have Google Hangouts and Twitch and a shit ton of other platforms where you can interact, you know, if you want to collaborate, you still can. You don't have to be in the same room. Yes. I still prefer hot seat gaming when I'm gaming against someone because I like to shit talk them or make them feel really bad for beating me for the 90,000th time because I suck at fighting games and people keep trying to get me to play fighting games. I'm not going to name names.
Just button mash.
That's what I do. And certain people who play fighting games are like, dude, that's not how you're supposed to play. I'm like, I don't know how to play. So I'm just going like this.
Play, man.
As soon as I find out two moves that I'm really good at, that's all I'm going to do. Tiger uppercut, tiger uppercut, tiger uppercut, tiger uppercut.
Show them who's boss.
But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, if there was a time to get stuff, you know, something creative, something different, it's now. I mean, today... I went through a shit ton of like trash bags, little trash bags of like random shit that had compiled itself into these things. I found, oh my god.
You know what it sounds like you're talking yourself into?
What? What?
Talking Steve! Hey, you know what's saying the creative juices?
Okay, here's the deal with Hawk and Steve. I would have to relearn how to use the damn pad, one. Two, I'd have to make sure the drivers work on whatever this Windows 10, because this pad, you know, I've used since XP.
Yeah, the old school.
I need to see if I can still find the templates for all the comics that I had written previously. And to be honest with you, if I'm even going down the lane of like trying to restart the webcomic, then I would first want to actually sit down and compile all of those strips and make a fucking book like I've been promising to do for years. Because, of course, that will refresh my memory about the story, wherever the hell it left off of. I'm pretty sure one guy was passed out and the other one had to go to work. That seems to be like the going story for Hawk and Germ, but not Hawk and Germ, Hawk and Steve. Hawk and Germ is an amazing radio show on the WINR radio, Winthrop Radio, back in the early 2000s, which I actually found all the CDs of that were burned of the show when I was looking at shit today. So,
wow.
Yeah, man. I was like blast from the past day.
You like listen to some of them to like get like a re-imaging of your Bygone days?
I would if I had a CD player.
Wait, you have one in your computer, man?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
What about the old red laptop?
Oh, yeah. Huh? I didn't think about that. Interesting. Yes. I was like, oh, dude, I'll just use my work laptop. There's no drive on that one either.
Huh. That is kind of funny.
Yeah. I was like, I found all this amazing stuff that I can't access because I don't have a drive anymore.
Oh, you sound like one of my teachers.
But anyways.
How will you survive?
So let's get to what is Zelius going to be playing, and now that he is hooked on the Nintendo Switch.
Indeed. So I have two games I've been playing. The first one is Cat Quest. It's a very fun, I wouldn't necessarily say easy, but a more straightforward RPG where you are a cat and you go around, you hit people with swords, or you cast spells.
You say spells or bells?
What?
You spells. Cast. Okay, I thought you said cast bells. I'm like, eh, it's a cat game. Yeah, it might be.
But it's a lighthearted, very punny game. Like if something bad happens, it'll be like, that was a catastrophe.
I'll be right back. Keep talking.
That was possum. So it's a very punny type of game. But it's just it's a fun, lighthearted RPG. But it's also an RPG that actually requires a little bit of strategy. Like, you just can't always go in, like, balls to the walls, like, ah! Or you may die. So it's a game where you actually have to kind of think a little bit. The other game I'm playing too is Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet. I always have to think about the SAO names. And basically, it's a third-person shooter set in the world of a Sword Art Online universe. For those who don't know, SAO started out in a universe that was basically created by some developer where it was real and people could die and stuff. And so this is kind of, and now it's become like this whole crazy big franchise. Of course, anybody who's ever played it will think immediately that, oh my gosh, this is just like, oh my gosh.
The moment of truth.
Total brain fart.
What game are we talking about?
Not Sword Art Online, but the one that Dot Hack. Because like, so I was talking about it on Switch. I'm playing Fatal Bullet SAO, and like you're in an MMO, so it's just like the entire premise of Dot Hack. So it's like, I mean, you're playing Fatal Bullet. It's a third-person shooter. You create your four-person parties that you go into these battles with. It's a cool game. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. The thing that I really struggle from a physical standpoint is if I try playing, so like taking Cat Quest, for instance, playing with the Switch and having the Joy-Cons in the actual Switch console itself, just playing like in my bed, that I'm fine with. Like, because it's not really fast-paced, so I can kind of, okay, I'm pressing buttons. But when I switch to a game like Fatal Bullet, where it's very fast, action-paced stuff going on,
right?
Like, my hands cramp within, like, minutes. So I found, like, some games, like Fatal Bullet, like, I have to play with, the actual, like, pro controller or something. I just can't do it with the Joy-Cons on the actual Switch itself. So that's the one drawback. I love the idea of the Switch. I mean, it's like, you know, so it's also probably, you kind of pick and choose your games, right? So if you know you're going to have your Switch with the Joy-Cons attached, you're going to pick what kind of game. So another good game to play would be SteamWorld Dig. Because SteamWorld Dig, specifically Heist, right? Heist, it's, you just play whenever you want to. There's no, it's turn-based. So you just kind of very, you know, casually move your, you know, targeting system around. So a game like that's perfect to play with the Joy-Cons in the Switch console. So
actually, any of the Steam Worlds would be are amazing on the Switch. There's SteamWorld Dig 1, SteamWorld Dig 2, SteamWorld Heist, and there's also SteamWorld Quest, which is the Hand of Gilgamesh, which is a phenomenal game. It's also turn-based, and it's a card-based system as well.
Yeah, so the Heist is the only one I've played, which is a great game, too. But really fast-paced games, like really probably those action games, probably not well. Like, if, you know, you got like Devil May Cry and Bayonetta and those games, I would not want to play those with like the Joy-Cons attached to the console.
You know, to be honest with you, I think the faster paced games, I'd be afraid I would break the buttons on that thing.
At the same time, though, it's like, that's kind of one of the cool things about the Switch, is you have that flexibility.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I don't do that. I just pop it in the cradle thing and I pop on my controller and I can play it just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was talking to Charlie about this earlier, and like before the show started, the one caveat I've run into is a game like Fatal Bullet is there's a lot of text on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing like an hooking up to a TV, the text can look terrible, basically like turd. So that's the one catch I've run into.
Yep.
I have to sneeze.
Uh-oh. Yeah, for some reason, certain games, as I was telling Zelius earlier, certain games for some reason have a weird scaling issue when it comes to either being on the TV versus the handheld. It's interesting. What he's experiencing basically is the handheld text is scaling correctly, but when you put it on the TV, the text gets smaller. There's also cases where the text looks decent on the TV. However, when you put it on the handheld, it's like reading, you know, like the hidden messages on like contracts and shit.
Well, and Fatal Bullet, the problem with Fatal Bullet is there's just, so it's really those loading screens,
mm-hmm,
where they have like information about a weapon. Really what it is, it's like they're trying to fit like down to like 25% of the screen, like down to your lower left. It's like 15 lines at like size like 10 font. That's, mm-hmm, really the thing. It's, mm-hmm, just so tiny. Where even like on the Switch, it's much more clear because it's just like it's the high def screen, but at the same time, it's just tiny.
Okay, so
there's just no way around it. So,
there's a game I've been playing a shit ton of. I've taken a break because I've switched over to Round Guard, which everyone should play. That's on several different platforms. I, of course, playing on the Switch, and I've beaten Round Guard several times. It's a game where it's a rogue kind of like dungeon thing where you choose your own path down to the bottom, and of course when you win you unlock stuff, and of course you want to play some more. But the other game I've been playing is a game called Labyrinth of Refrain, and there's a couple issues with that game that started to really grate on me. And basically anyone who's played like that JRPG style game has experienced this. One, there are areas in the there are spots in the first area where all of a sudden enemy levels ramp the fuck up. And so you're basically one-shotting everybody. You could go from like level 1 all the way down to like level 7, and you're one-shotting everyone even down to 7. However, there's a hidden passage immediately to your left as soon as you enter the first level. And if you go over there, the monsters will absolutely massacre you.
Yeah, that was a game. It was, what was the game I was playing on my phone a couple weeks ago? Reminds me a lot of that. Dungeon Faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, it's a card drafting roguelike game.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of ran the same thing where, so you basically, when you played it, you had a map that went like this, and like it went like in a grid,
mm-hmm,
and you had a bunch of tiles, and each tile was like a different stage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you went like around like that, you got to here, you basically unlocked this path going like this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, when you went around the long way, you picked up like ruins and gold,
mm-hmm,
and all this other useful stuff,
mm-hmm,
to basically get your character leveled up, whereas if you went straight down, you didn't have those ruins to basically cast spells.
Yep.
So it's like, well, I just wanted to go straight down because I know I can, but I basically need to do like these 20 rooms just to have enough resources to cast spells.
Right.
So like that's my one thing where like if they made it where like if you went straight down, if you like got like a certain number of like ruins and gold to kind of like compensate for the fact you bypassed all these rooms, I think it would be better. So that's like one annoyance in that game. And then the same thing, you just hit a wall.
Well, I mean,
like, it'll be great, great, great. All of a sudden, you just like die.
Well, it's like this game has multiple moments that happen with that. You'll You'll go, there is one area that technically has three bosses. The first one, I beat the snot out of it, easy peasy. The second one, I got massacred like 10 times. And so I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going to go check some other stuff out. End up finding the third boss, had a hell of a time, but I beat him. I was like, hell yeah. Now it's time to go back for number two. Number two fucking massacred me. Like, immediately. I'm like, what the... But my biggest issue, and this, of course, is my OCD-ness, and also thanks to the way that... I'm basically, for those out there who don't know, my day job is basically like a compliance officer. I make sure that everything follows Americans Disability Act, Section 508. Which basically states that anything and everything that's available to one person should be available to anyone, no matter the handicap. In Labyrinth of Refrain, when it's explaining something new, it'll spit out like some tutorial text to say, for future reference, all you need to do is reference the game guide. There is no game guide. I cannot reference it because I'll be like, oh shit, what exactly did they say about this? And I'll look through all the videos for the tutorials and stuff. It's not available. And so it makes me want to cry. But anyways,
yeah, that's dumb.
I'm trying desperately to, because I've put 70 hours into Labyrinth of Refrain. So I'm in for the long haul.
That's a lot of hours, man.
Yeah. So I kind of want to keep going, but at the same time, I'm getting pissed because I like have to consciously think, okay, is this going to be that, is this the real boss that I could beat and will advance the story? Or is this a boss that ends up being like a side story that I don't really have to do? Because the thing is, in Labyrinth of Refrain, you're basically controlling puppets. And there are times where you get attacked and a puppet's appendage will get destroyed.
Oh, so you've been playing this for a while.
Yeah. Sometimes. It's very unique. I like the fact that, you know, you've got, two legs, two arms, a chest, and a head. If at any point in the game your head breaks, you cannot come back at all. You have to go out of the dungeon and then basically repair the puppet. If you have a character who utilizes a two-handed weapon, but they lost one of their arms, and then there's a mismatch attack that happens, which is basically they're not going to do jack squat. You lose a leg, you can't have the use of your boots. You lose your chest, then the armor's gone. You know, that kind of thing. It's very interesting, but at the same time, the randomness at when shit breaks is insane. And also, you could literally have just gone into a dungeon, and the first battle you have, some asshole monster will get like a lucky crit shot and hurt like your main super dude. And now you're crippled for, like, if you want to keep going, you're crippled.
Is there actually like an end of the game though? Do you know? Or is it like you could just basically be playing forever? You know what I mean?
No, there is an end to the game. Basically, the story is this girl, this witch comes to this town. There's some mysterious thing happening down a well in this town. And she's trying to find these things, these keys that are hidden in the land, which turns out to be lands underneath the well. And the really crazy thing was that I could, spoiler alert, maybe, I don't know. I was playing the game and all of a sudden it goes, game over. I'm like, what? Because it was during a cutscene. It's like, you're going to want to do this as a separate save. I'm like, all right, separate save. And it jumps back in and literally replays the cutscene. But one thing has changed so that your character stays alive. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Can I say one thing I hate?
What's that?
Like, Nintendo's online functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to right now because I'm on the PC. Like, okay, Realm Guard, I want to save that to my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
there? Is it possible? I don't know.
Are you logged in?
On the PC, yeah.
To your account?
Yeah, I can buy it, apparently.
Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, that's just something Nintendo's always notoriously been.
Yeah, they've always skimped on internet functionality. Not gonna be that's the one thing that they've always, and the way I like to say it, oopsie daisied.
Yeah, that's never been their thing. But you know, what can you do?
Indubitably. But anyways, you know, I guess we're kind of coming to the end here, ladies and gentlemen. But I do want to reiterate a couple things real quick. From the beginning, the early parts of the show, as of right now, technically, depending on the way that you're reading the messages coming out, MomoCon 2020 is either postponed or still potentially on. I'm not exactly sure, because the thing is, and Zelius and I talked about this before the show, we have not received email confirmation that it's been postponed.
That's the first thing I look for.
Right. I mean, the thing is, I'm a panelist. I have a fan table, and I'm also registered press. So if shit was going to change, you would think at the bare minimum, press would be immediately notified. I have not received an email for that.
That is a very good point.
Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I have to rant about something real quick.
Oh, no.
Speaking of email, and if you've been following my little rant on Discord, and I think I also wrote an article on the website www.alterconfusion.com. Ladies and gentlemen, so back in 2008, I decided to buy all my domains through a website called GoDaddy.com. And one of the beautiful things about GoDaddy was that with each domain registration, you got a free email account, one free email account per domain. So I had one for alteredconfusion.com. I've got one for altered-confusion.com. Yep. Well, I was informed earlier this week that they are basically nixing that free thing, but they are willing to. It usually costs $100 to do the migration from this system over to the brand new system, but it is a yearly fee. And I got pissed because I was like, this is bullshit. This is the reason why I got the service, because I got the free email. You know, I should be grandfathered in. And of course, like, no. See, what we want is we want a more stable experience for you. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Kiyami, MomoCon has been postponed according to the list of conventions I have. Is that an official list or is that a personal? Because literally, if you read the information they've given out, they don't actually say it's been postponed. They're just investigating alternative dates. But anyways, so I was thoroughly pissed at GoDaddy, and I was like, I'll find something else. And I hung up on them, and I was like, okay, all I gotta do is I'll pull all my emails, I'll you know, notify my contacts that I've got to change my email address. And then of course it becomes blatantly obvious that I've been utilizing this email address for 12, 13 years, and there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to easily transition that to something else. So tomorrow I will be calling GoDaddy, and since they've gotten me by the short hairs, I will be paying the freaking fee that I don't want to pay to have a service that I had, which they're taking away on... what the hell did they say?
So one thing you might be able to do is
March 27th.
You might be able to actually download your GoDaddy inbox using
Thunderbird
as an inbox.
No, yes, that's what I was going
to
do.
Upload that inbox to like a Gmail or something.
Right, but the problem is that if someone were to email me at my email address, it wouldn't go there. That's the problem. I've got no issue with. I know exactly how to like grab my entire contact list or all of my emails, but the problem is that connection will be gone.
Well, what if you just like used a different domain name service? Just switch registrars.
I just re-upped with GoDaddy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll just pay the $90 per year.
Those jerks.
Yeah. Like, seriously, if an individual has been, if you have like a business partner or a customer that's been around for so long, and this is the way that they do things, this is the way that everything was set up at the time that they became a customer, it should stay that way. Like, for those of you who are really interested, or probably not, there is a law in the state of Georgia that basically says that if you have a house on the Chattahoochee River, the house, as long as the footprint stays there, can be as close to the river as was allowed at that time. Now, if you were to knock the house down and lose that footprint, then you got to move it the fuck back from the river. Mm-hmm. It's called being grandfathered in. I wanted to be grandfathered in because I had the two email accounts. I could have had four, but I had two email accounts that I used.
Yeah.
And it's been for free for over 12 years. And now you're deciding, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm seething.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I made mention of this in Discord, but as I said earlier, I did stream Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday, of course, being last night. And I said ahead of time as I was starting to stream, I was like, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Facebook. I don't know what's going to happen with YouTube. I know Twitch will keep going, but I am going to get copyrighted to death. Sure enough, it didn't start sending me the notifications from YouTube until after the stream was dead. However, I got hit with 38 violations.
That's impressive, man.
I know. I was just like, okay. Well, I knew it was going to happen. I was living in my Pandora station.
Ah, that'll do it.
So, I mean, it's not... I'm not, you know...
You're an evil person who is stealing the livelihood of record executives everywhere, sir.
Yeah. But I was just like... I knew it was going to happen. I just wanted to, you know, rock out to some songs, sing. Hopefully I did scare everyone away with my voice. I know I have a slightly better singing voice than Zelius. I've got that going for me.
Whoa.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you a quick little story. I got Zelius. There was a telemarketer that kept calling my parents' house. I got Zelius to get on the phone and sing... I think it's Our God is an Awesome God.
Awesome God, yep. You played the guitar.
Yes, and they never called the house again.
Yeah, remember, it was John Paul was teaching us how to play that song in the guitar back at All Saints.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my last solo ever. Went out on a high note.
Bravo, Zelius, bravo. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this is what's going to happen. Because I don't know when the coronavirus or COVID 19 is going to end. You're probably going to see a bunch of streaming on the Twitch channel. I don't know if I will be streaming to Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube all the time. I did a very short stream yesterday where it was just on Twitch. It was me MacGyvering the shit out of my earbud so that I could get it to work again. Good news. It seemed to work. So, Kitty Yami, who tuned in to that random ass thing, I did it. But you know, I'm probably going to be streaming a lot, like, you know, little bits and pieces, maybe some, IRL or vlogging or, AMAs, just to kind of, I don't know, break up the day and also give an individual someone to talk to get, you know, nice and nerdy.
Nerdy?
Yep.
Where are we getting nerdy, sir?
I'm pretty sure that we can't... We're everything that is nerdy. Well, not everything, but close. Oh. Everything nerdy would be like you're able to fit into every demographic at Dragon Con, which I don't know if that's actually possible.
Ooh.
There are some dark hallways that will scar you for life if you're not careful.
That's almost like to live on the edge, Joe.
I accidentally went down the wrong hallway once. I'll never make that mistake again.
No, I'm intrigued.
Bronies and leather. No, sorry. Bronies and latex.
You really got a good look at them. That's what I'm understanding.
No, all it took was a half-second glance, and it's I'm scarred for life, man. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is the Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. If you have at any time want any desire to reach out to us, of course, you know, hit us up when we're doing a live show, twitch.tv/alterconfusion, or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/alteredconfusion, or you go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/alteredconfusionllc, or you could go to, what is it, Zelius? Twitter.
At AltConfusio, but dude, where's my N?
The N would break the internet. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can just go to our website, www.alterconfusion.com, or you could do like the cool kids do, and that's, and Zelius' method, it is Zelius approved, is...
Do the Google. We just type in MomoCon.
Altered Confusion.
Are you sure we're talking about MomoCon or Alter Confusion? I never quite know anymore.
But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. For myself, Charlie, and Zelius, it's been a pleasure giving you everything coming out of our heads, our mouths, and of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday, either remotely or together, who knows. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in.
Remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.